Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What is up and welcome to the latest edition of the Bruin Bible. Six practices in spring practice for UCLA. I mean, we had to bring him back. The fans have been pining for it. They've been calling for it. We got to get the main man back. The Cook crossover is back in the house. Wayne, first and foremost, how are we doing on this Sunday night after the Masters? Scotty Scheffler just put on a show. Our UCLA Bruins are about to put on a show this week coming through for UCLA.
So, first of all, thank you, Will, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity that you do so much. I love talking UCLA football. It's funny because this is my birthday weekend. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. My birthday was yesterday. It was April 13th. I'm 53 years old. I know I don't look a day over 54, but like I'm 53. And I went out to, for my birthday, my wife was, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I kind of want to go to practice in the morning if you don't mind. And it's funny because my mother-in-law and I share a birthday. So I dropped my wife off at her house. And then I went to practice. And then I drove back and we had a sandwich together and hung out and then came home. And then I watched golf. So it was the Masters and my birthday kind of coincide a lot. And it was an awesome tournament, man. The Masters never let you down. I know it probably wasn't as an intense finish as it could have been because Scotty Scheffler is like the new great golfer, and I love the guy so much. He's such a great player. But there were dudes, you know, Homa, Morikawa, you know, they were right there, but they couldn't hang with Scotty. So to answer your question, it was great. But to spend my birthday watching UCLA practice was exactly what I wanted to do. Yeah, I know that, like, for everybody that's had a chance to go out there, it's electric. It was a very good practice. Last time we talked, I thought that the team was a little bit kind of like it wasn't the greatest practice. They were kind of going through the motions a little bit. Even the coaches that said afterwards, like, hey, if you guys want to win more than we've been winning, and I love this line, you're going to have to change. Deshaun just looked everybody in the face and said, listen, if we want to be better, you're going to have to start doing things different. And I love that he holds the team accountable for stuff like that. So anyway, it was a great practice on Saturday. And other than, and we're going to get into this in a second, Hudson Havermell goes down, looked like a non-contact injury. He's screaming. The whole team was silent. It was a very somber, sad moment because, like, and Will, you and I talked before we started recording. Hudson, you've heard it. I've heard it. He's like, and I've got to know him over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. He's such an awesome teammate. And not to mention, he was having an awesome practice. Guy was going off. Like he's really turned himself into an elite tight end. So we don't know as we're talking right now what it is. I will tell you this, whatever it is, Hudson will be fine as a human being. But as a player, as a person that's gone through this, you know, a couple of times, it's heartbreaking. It's you just think, why me? Like, why am I going to have to go through this? But it'll make him stronger than he already is. And I hope it's not bad. But either way, you know, prayers to Hudson. And it's just sad. You never want to see anybody go down. So, but we've become, and this is the sad part of this, is we've become like a lot thinner at tight end now because we lost Carson Ryan. We got Matzavow still, who looks great. And him and Hudson were tearing up. Yeah. it was just like those two guys were tearing it up. So that was the bummer. Everything else that I saw was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just Hudson really represents this program on so many different fronts. You know, in any walk of life, I think you respect someone that earns everything they've gotten. And that is exactly what's happened with Hudson Havermell. You know, a walk-on that, you know, learned how to play the position of tight end, came in there. I have an off-the-record, you know, former teammate that talks to me with Hudson. And they say this guy was eating like 3 or 4 meals a day just to try to bulk up to kind of get that tight end size. And everyone loves the kid. He's a fun energy type of guy. Mm-hmm. A lot of you guys will probably remember the touchdown he made against Stanford. He got the shades on at night and just everything with that. You know, Hudson's such a great dude, man. And it just breaks my heart because this was the year. Like, we really thought, like, he was going – it was 1A, 1B, wherever you were at with Montevall and Habermill in spring camp. So if let's hope it's not serious. We don't have the final diagnosis yet on what it can be.
Yeah.
Prayers up for our guy Habermill. But, boy, if he's on this football team, he is a way better football player.
I totally agree, and I want to jump in here because this is I probably do this more than I should. One of the ways that you keep in touch with what's going on and around the team is you pay attention to the press and how they cover the team. And you know, I've talked about this before. Sometimes the ultra negativity stuff just wears me down. I wish we would promote players more. Knowing these guys the way I do, they work so hard. And they give everything they got. And for some writer that like to sit back and do nothing but knock the team, knock the coaches, question. It's I get it. You're reporting, but it wears me down sometimes. Also, I pay attention. I know this is very old school. I still read some message boards. You know, they still exist out there. I still pay attention to social media, and I hear what people are saying. And I probably should, right? I probably shouldn't. But it was funny, and this is going to tie into Hudson and Coach Foster and a little bit myself, because people will comment when I'm on the show, and usually it's positive. But it was funny, someone threw in the phrase about my playing days, and I swear there's a reason for this. There's a reason for me to tell you the story. And he called, you know, anybody that knows my career knows that we won a Pac-10 championship my junior year, and then we lost in the Rose Bowl 21-16, and I didn't end that game in a glorious way. Things didn't go the way I thought they were on a play. I scrambled, and the clock ran out because we didn't have any timeouts left. So I've had to swallow that for the last 30 years. And when someone on one of the boards said that when Cook had his run for glory, hinting at the fact that I was playing hero ball, first of all, wow. Like, I want you to know that, yeah, there are some players that exist out there that maybe, you know, are a little selfish, but the last thing I was planning on doing is running 17 yards. I'd never done that in my entire career. Like, I scored a touchdown against SC on a naked bootleg. I had a two-point conversion. I had some quarterback sneaks, but that was not my strength. It was a mistake that was caused by me thinking something, and then something else happened, and I reacted, and it didn't work out. So when you judge athletes, I mean, I had a knee injury and an all-star game before I went to UCLA. Then I blew my knee out my very first college start, and it was a total reconstruction where a guy right next to me had the same injury, never played football again. I never played at anything other than probably 80% for my entire career at UCLA. My knee was never good. I had arm issues, and I gave. And if you ask anybody that I played with, my whole right side was iced after every practice. It was. I gave everything I had at that school. I also played with the flu in that Rose Bowl, where I almost had one of the worst sore throats I've ever had in my life. So it's the reason why I bring this up is some of us flippantly throw out insults at athletes, and I tell people this all the time. I talked to Devin Fuller at practice, when UCLA's, you know, great former players, and we were laughing about how everything else in life as adults seems easy compared to football. That's how hard it is. I mean, trust me. I mean, I've dealt with people being sick in my family. I've dealt with all kinds of stuff, and I'm not saying that that's not hard too. But football truly does prepare you for life because it throws at you everything you can handle and more. It's one of those things that pushes you to a level that you don't think you're capable of doing until you actually are pushed that hard. And so for me, just the years of therapy I went through to get on the field. If you watch the SC game in 1993, I'm limping out there because I was coming off of a bruised kidney where I had internal bleeding. So when people question you like that, you're like, really, dude? And I know it's just one person out there, and I'm sure it was done in a ha-ha way, but when we talk about players like Hudson Habermill, and then someone else posted, I saw this, that Coach Deshaun Foster, when he mentioned, this is the reason why I just told you that story, that when he mentioned the people that he was looking for in the portal, the positions, someone's like, oh, he really cares about his players. Like, he's already telling them they're not good enough. Are you freaking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but, like, first of all, you need depth, right? I just watched Ohio State's spring game on TV the other day.
Yeah.
And they were talking, the announcers, you know, the Fox guys, were talking about how you're going to get through this conference, especially now that you've added four big-time programs to a conference that was already good. You're going to get beat up. If you don't have a two and a three at running back, if you don't have a backup tackle, if you don't have a couple of centers, like, you're not going to win. You're going to struggle. And so when a coach says, yeah, we need some defensive ends, yeah, we may need another running back, when they say, what about quarterbacks? He says, yeah, probably, because we lost Collar Slee. Like, stop overthinking it. It's not that Garbers and Justin Martin aren't doing a great job. I was at practice. They both looked awesome. But we've only got four right now. And you might want to add one or two if you can. So it's not insulting the guys you have. It's just saying we need more. And to say that he didn't care about Hudson, you're crazy. The first part of that interview, he was shook.
Yeah.
Coach Foster cares about his guys a lot. He wants to be that coach. I mean, it's just, I get it. You're fans. It's fun. You're posting stuff. I don't know who you are. But I can take it. But I hope that there's a little bit more clarity. These people, they put everything they've got into this. And it's every day. It's an absolute grind. I've been working for 25 years, you know, not in football. And I promise you, it doesn't even come close. When people complain about the jobs that I've had to do, I'm like, what are you complaining about? We didn't have two-a-days today. You didn't have, I mean, like, my whole body doesn't hurt. Like, and you still have to go. I remember taking painkillers when I was trying to make the NFL just to get through a practice because my arm hurt so bad. I couldn't lift a pin. And I had to go try to compete against NFL players. So I took painkillers, like, and a lot of them. That sucks. But that's how much people give to this sport.
Yeah, they give everything, man. They give everything. And, like, the notion that if that is a real thing that's flying around, that Deshaun Foster doesn't care about his players, I beg you guys, and I know it's early. We're getting just the first taste of really Foster's a head coach. I've interacted with him a couple of times. I think it is impossible to say from everything we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Find me a more authentic coach, not with a different agenda, not with everything else, a guy that genuinely wants to be at UCLA. We saw the reaction of when his name was announced, when Jarman brought him in. I mean, that is as close to a home run hire for that roster as possible. Yeah. By the way, wait, in today's college football, it's crazy when you get a new coach in there. How many people traditionally transfer when a new coach comes in? No matter if they're on staff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, and there's been maybe two to three of those guys that have gone out. When we were expecting dozens, if it wasn't, you know, Deshaun Foster, a guy that's really held together the talent coming back, a quarterback that won our first bowl game in seven years, a J.J. tournament, and Oladeja. I mean, find me that, and then just everything we've seen from him tearing up at the press conference, how he's interacted with the players, the press, the program – authenticity is the key for him so far.
And I'll just add real quick, and then we can move on to practice stuff. I don't think it's a lot of people. I just wanted to explain how much this means to these people. I mean, if you heard Hudson and his agony when he got hurt, and then you saw, I mean, literally it was silent. It was silent. Everybody took the knee. Everybody was, I mean, people said a prayer for him after practice. I mean, it was trust me, man, these guys are, they're brothers, and they care about each other a lot. And the coaches do too. And then just to add to the atmosphere, and then we'll dive into practice and positions and stuff. The atmosphere, like, I was out with a couple of football players from Newbury Park High School, which is my high school. And they were out of practice, and we got a chance to hang out and talk, and it was really, really fun. And Eric Bieniemy was walking off the field, and I go, Eric, come over here and meet these guys from my high school. And one of them, Shane Rosenthal, well, they're both really good players, but the idea that, you know, they take the time, because I stayed out of practice. You know when I'm there. You see me. I stay out there forever. And you're usually like, hey, man, I was going to wait for you, but I had to leave. Because I want to talk to everybody, because I learn so much when I get to talk to everybody. And I consider a lot of those people friends. But Coach Bieniemy came over and talked to these guys for quite a while. And it's like, this coaching staff is legit. They're really, really good. And yeah, we'd like to add some pieces. This, I think, what is it, tax day, and it's also going to be portals open tomorrow, right? I think on the 15th the portals open, so everybody's going to go shopping. Everybody's going to go shopping a little bit. That's the world we live in right now. It doesn't mean we don't have great players. It just means we'd like to add a few more.
Yeah, and I'm excited, man. I think the NIL money is a better place than where it was last year with a new coach in there. So, I mean, let's go shopping, you know? And that doesn't, you know, totally say that Deshaun Foster doesn't care about the tight ends. Complete opposite, right? It's just adding more bodies to compete for jobs, you know, with tight ends like that. So that is, you know, separate from what we got going on moving forward. Saturday practice, I actually was not able to attend. You've been out to at least three practices right now. I've been out to about four. We've kind of got a good general consensus on what's going on within UCLA at spring practice. Let's start with the offense, man. I really like what I'm seeing from the quarterback room. I think the new QB coach, Coach White, is doing a really good job in the early returns of what we've seen here. You know, Justin Martin made one of the most impressive throws I've seen in camp, Wayne. Opposite hash, 7-on-7. Hit Rico Flores in between two defenders on the right sideline, about 20 yards downfield. And I looked at, you know, I was talking to some people, you know, in the parking lot area where I was at so I can watch the quarterbacks. I was like, that's an NFL throw right there. Like, that was pretty impressive. Then you go to Garbers, who has been lights out pretty much throughout camp. He has looked every bit of the part of being QB1. And then I keep coming back to this, man. Luke Duncan looks so advanced for a guy that's really doing his first spring football, where I think this guy – is going to have a legitimate shot at competing for that QB2 spot with Justin Martin. What do you see for the quarterbacks and the offense as a whole? Because, man, I am thrilled with what I've seen in the early remarks, you know, results from what you've gotten, especially with Coach White coaching them up.
Yeah. Oh, so let's start with Coach White. Yeah, I got a chance to – he pretty much has said – he saw me after practice, and I said hey to him again, and he goes, why are you standing so far away? He goes, get in here. Like, I want these guys to see you. I want them to, because it's really just Chase and Justin and Luke and Ethan. And I know all of them. I had a great conversation with Luke after practice. And he's, you know, since you just mentioned him, he's just got it. He looks like a good old fashioned 6'4" plus quarterback, right? He's got a good throwing motion. He's got a strong arm. He's young, and he's still young, you know, between the ears, right? There's still a ton of, like, the problem with being a high school football player, and I'll go back to my own career too. When you go from high school, and I think high school is probably more complex than it used to be, but there's a lot of, this is the play, this is the read, throw to this guy or this guy, and that's kind of it. And so when you get to college and you're running a pro system and you've got to get through your progressions, and trust me, there's a lot going on in these offenses. Like, that's why I'm so impressed. I've been blown away with how quickly, from my first practice to Saturday, how much better the offense looked. Remember the last time we talked, I was joking around about how Coach was getting on him about cadence. I'm like, man, if you can't get the cadence right, like, you know your head's spinning if your cadence is off. They use the cadence as a weapon. They use the cadence. And it was funny because I asked Coach Bieniemy about it after practice. He goes, man, we gotta utilize the cadence. Because in the NFL, the cadence does so much, right? One, you don't have guys jumping your cadence, which is the simplistic answer, right? If you're doing the same cadence all the time, the defensive ends, like we did, the Murphys and Latu were, and that's why the Murphys were offside so much. They were trying to jump the other guy's cadence a lot. And so sometimes they would be a little early, but we're using the cadence a lot of hard counts, a lot of changing it up. But at the same time, you also get to see what the defense is in. You kind of trick them into getting to, and, you know, they have a pre-snap, and then a lot of times they'll shift. And if you can use your cadence to find out where they're at, then after a hard cadence, sometimes you send a guy in motion and you're like, okay, they're a man, they're in zone, whatever they're doing. It's you're using your cadence to your advantage. And so that's going to be hard, but at the same time, I was blown away with how much better they are. Because you know me, I'm always like, if you've coached any level of football before, every time you go on to or anything like that, like the whole coaching staff holds their breath because you know your freaking right guard's going to jump off sides before they do. So half the time you end up going backwards instead of getting the other team to mess up. But it's really not about getting people to jump off. It's about seeing what they're doing. There's just, so I was impressed with that. But anyway, I'll go back to my conversation with Luke. I asked him about Coach White. And obviously, I'm not going to say anything bad, but this is the truth. He goes, oh, I love him. Like, I love him. And he goes, and then he was going, I go, why are you still out here? Because it was quite a way after. He goes, Coach Bieniemy wants to talk to me. And I go, well, good luck with that. And so I walked away, and I was talking to some other people, and I saw them talking, and he comes walking by, and like kind of gave him one of these, like, how to go, man. And he goes, oh, it's good. He's always good to me. He's like, I know it's all coming from a good place. And he was so upbeat about it. And I heard that multiple times over the weekend. The coaches are coaching them hard, but they know that they're coming from a good place, and they know they're coming from knowledge, and they know what they're talking about. And so that's like the perfect formula. Everybody that's ever played sports, you, Will, you, me, I guarantee you we've had coaches that are loud, but you know, and I know that they have no idea what they're talking about. And so you don't take them seriously. But when a coach knows what they're talking about and they're chewing your ass a little bit, like, you're like, okay, all right, I can take this because he knows and I need to be better. So it works that way.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you're a quarterback and, like, you're like, well, he was giving this to Patrick Mahomes too. Like, he's the best in the world right now.
Right.
He's giving it to Patrick Mahomes too. Like, how can I not take this coaching? That's the thing. Like, if you can totally buy into the fact that this guy is here to help me and he knows what the hell he's talking about, right? That's the biggest thing when it comes down to it. Bieniemy is clearly that guy. He's one of the coaching offensive players ever.
Yeah, and quickly, because, you know, I do these long-winded answers. You mentioned Justin and Ethan. I thought Ethan had an awesome practice, and I think Justin is getting better and better and better and better. I thought the whole offense looked better. I talked to Sam Yoon after practice a little bit. I have not talked to him very much. I asked him, how's it going? And I kind of loved his answer. He's like, good. You're good. But he goes, but it's not good enough. He goes, we need to get better. And I love that, because I paid attention to him a little bit because he's the newer one as far as our front five right now. And he had a pretty good practice. Like, he's coming around. And it's not that easy. Like, when you're a backup and all of a sudden you're a starter and you're going up against Jay Tuia and Keanu Williams and those guys, who, by the way, are, and Jay was like, I just want him to go, like, just wait till the game starts, Jay Tuia, because he's so good. But they have to block guys like that. And so the quarterbacks are going to, and I can keep going. I know we have multiple, but I got to meet Rico. Who I just introduced myself to him, and I told him how great he's looked, because he's looked fantastic. And he just seems like the nicest guy in the world, but he's also kind of a vocal leader. I will tell you that we're going to be really happy that Titus is back. I said that last time, but he's, first of all, he's a little bit bigger than I thought he was. Like, I always remember him, like, from a few years back, like, being, because I just, you know, he's a slot guy, so he's not, but he's got a good physicality about him. And I love the way he's playing. Logan Loya is a guy that you can just, he's kind of like Jay Tuia. He's like, he's Logan Loya.
We know what he got.
We know what we got with Logan Loya. He's another one of those guys that's the nicest guy in the world. Pagan was a little beat up. I think Sturdivant was being held back a little bit because, as Coach put it, he's running a little hot, so they had to back off into him. Pagan's struggling with a hammy right now. So he said he'll take care of it. But either way, I know I'm talking a lot right now, but I thought the quarterbacks in the offense look so much better. I think they're coming along. I think we still need to get better up front. I will say this. I haven't talked about the running game very much at all. Keegan and TJ look great. But sometimes the holes aren't there the way we want. And so I think we could – and I'll say this too. If we go back to the transfer portal question – if you go out and find, and I want you to respond to this. If I'm going to go grab a quarterback and I'm Justin Martin or Ethan Garms, you go, really, Coach? Now, I'm not talking about they're going to go get a name, like someone that's out there that's a possible All-American that's going to come in and start right away day one. I'm talking about a guy that's maybe was a big recruit a few years ago. He's second or third string at a big-time school, and they're going to come to your school. If you're a quarterback, and I talked to Richard Breho and Pat Cowan at practice the other day, I talk to quarterbacks all the time. They are always bringing in another quarterback to beat you out. right? They're always going to bring it. I had it every year I was at UCLA. They were always bringing someone else to beat you out. And if you aren't the type of player that's like, bring it on. Like, as long as I know the coach is going to give me a fair shot, I want the competition. So if they go out and grab a couple of a tackle, a center, a guard, and they can get a couple of players that are going to come in. Remember last year or 2 years ago, remember we brought in a couple of linemen. We brought in the kid from Colorado who I think's already transferred somewhere else. And they don't always put a kid from Oregon that's still on the team. Just because they're coming in and they had four or five stars next to their name doesn't mean that they're going to beat you out. So be an athlete. If you watch the press conference, one of my favorite parts about the press conference was Deshaun Foster talking about how competitive he is. Yeah. And how he wants these guys competing all the time. And it's funny because I love Deshaun. I mean, I don't always go out of my way to say hey to him at practice only because he's the head coach and I don't want to be a nuisance. I bug the assistants a little bit more or like some of the other people, but I was over by the quarterbacks, like so far away from where I should have been, like kind of on the field. And I kind of just looked over at him. I gave him a little, like, whatever I did. And he just kind of looked at me and nodded. I just feel like, there's a lot of the way that I think and the way I do things. And then like when I hear him say stuff, I'm like, yes. And I'm going to give you a great example. He talked about being competitive when other people don't even know they're competing. Like he would have his running backs be the first ones in the building all the time. And even though no one else knew that that was like a competition, I do this in my work. If you ask any of my students who are, when we have a fire drill, my freaking line is like the military. I'm like coaching them up. I'm like, you need to stay right behind that person. Nobody goes side to side. And with middle school kid, it is a chore. My class wins. I think I'm 100% every time we are locked in. And we come back in and we high five and we clap and we give ourselves cheers. And I go, I'm great to that field. It feels good to win, right? I go, I don't care if nobody else knows we're competing, but if you're going to do something, you're going to do it right. And that's the example I think that Deshaun's giving. If you're going to do it well. Let's be as disciplined as we possibly can be and always competing. And I absolutely love that. So if you're going to, this ties into the portal, right? We're going to bring in people instead of crying and going, I'm going to transfer a coach that doesn't like me. Be like, bring it on, dude. I'm better than you. And so that's I think the kind of atmosphere that we're looking to build.
Yeah. And Wayne, I could not agree more. I think the problem I've had with the transfer portal, people moving, you know, so quickly, is a huge part of who you become in life is how you handle adversity in these situations. And a lot of the times you see these quarterbacks or somebody that's been coddled their entire life to the most talented athlete in their town or specific area. For the first time, they're kind of pushed like, hey, you, I mean, we're bringing another guy. Like, it's going to be tough for you, but, you know, the best quarterback's going to see the field. A lot of these guys have been running from it. And I hate to see that. You know, because how you build toughness in life is how you respond to those situations. And, you know, that's been the tough part about it. But I think the general consensus I've gotten from this UCLA team is these guys love to stay in it. They love to battle. They love to earn what they've got. And, you know, the offensive line, can we add a couple bodies? Yes. But, dude, I've been to four practices. Castillo has gotten better each and every practice I've been to personally. I wasn't there at Saturday. I wasn't there at the previous Saturday. But Castillo is a guy that I trust building up that offensive line. There's a sense of urgency in these drills that I didn't see last spring with Castillo. Yeah. You can probably attest to this as well, where the little mechanisms he's doing in these practices and how they're getting ready for 7-on-7 or the 11-on-11 drills, it's more advanced than what I was seeing previously. So I'm really pumped about what Castillo's doing. I'm going to give him time to kind of build that up. So really pumped about that. Our wide receiver room is, I mean, I thought last year was maybe the deepest we've ever had. This year, I think maybe a step above that because you add in a Kwazi Gilmore. We don't even have Grant Graves playing baseball. He's a four-star guy. Just, I mean, Rico Flores, I mean, what an absolute baller that guy was. I mean, the last practice I went to, he made 4 to 5 catches in these 7-on-7, 11-on-11 environments. And then TMA, man, I mean, just the word that comes to mind to me is slippery. That guy, way to get open. Like, just like nobody's business, man. So, when you have a TMA with a Loya in your slot, you're going to be fine there if those guys are healthy, man. So a lot to look forward to on the offensive side of the ball. Here's my kind of stance with the defensive line, Wayne. I'm interested to hear your point on this. Last year, when we came in, the offensive line had a lot of question marks, similar to kind of what it has this year. But what I can say is I knew we had one guy that was a badass on the offensive line, Duke Clemons as the center. All Pac-12 performer. I know what we got in Duke Clemons. The rest of the guys were trying to figure it out. We're going to see what we kind of have in the tool chest when it comes to the game time. I know what we have in a Jay Toye on the other side. I know if he's healthy, this guy is going to be competing for all Big Ten selections and all that jazz that comes with being a top-notch player within your conference. I'm a little worried about the edges right now. I've seen a little bit more improvement. I like Busich. I like Al Pugh, I think his name is. The Notre Dame transfer came in. We're still kind of waiting the wings on a Champion Young. And I will say this, Keanu Williams I'm feeling really good about as well. He batted down a pass the last practice I was at, really generating pressure. Talk to me about the defense, because in a weird way, Wayne, I feel confident in that linebacking room. I've said this many of times, but I am actually feeling very good about the secondary as opposed to where I was. We lost Ramsey. We lost a Humphreys. We lost these guys. But I think we've kind of, you know, cobbled together a really good alternative there in the secondary. Yeah. If we can just get some more help in the trenches, man, I think this defense could be damn good once again.
So, yeah, there's a lot there. First of all, I did get to meet Coach Castillo. I hadn't met him yet. He was one of the coaches I'm still trying to track down. Really nice guy. And I agree with you on what you said about the offensive line. I think they're improving. I think they're being coached really, really well. And they're just going to keep getting better. I'm 100% with you on that. Jay Toia is a nightmare. We've had some good – I think of guys like Kenny Clark and Eddie Vanderdoes, a couple of guys that pop into my brain as really, really, really good defensive linemen. Jay Toia is a nightmare. Every practice I've been to, all three of them, he's – you said slippery for TMA.
Yeah.
How can a guy with a butt that big – be slippery? I don't know, but man, Jay is like, he can power rush you, he can clog it up, and he can also make you miss. I saw it a couple times in practice where it's like they're running a play and the guard and the center both miss him, and he is standing right in front of the QB's face going, I would have killed you if we were going live right now. Keanu Williams looks amazing. I'm glad you mentioned him. I think Gary Smith was out. He's another guy. I mentioned big butts. That guy might have the biggest butt on the defensive line. I mean, it's like we joke around about this a lot, but in football, big butts matter. You want those guys in the trenches. You want those guys that have that center of gravity where you're not going to move them around too much. We got a few of those guys. I'm going to tell you a guy that popped. Busich. Yeah. The Navy transfer. He made a couple of plays off the edge.
Yes, all right.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I've been watching a lot of different things in practice because I have questions there, and I haven't spent as much time watching those guys. He kind of popped for me in practice. I'm like, okay, this guy's pretty good. And so I'm standing next to a couple of people that work for the program, and I'm like, hey, Busich. What do you think? And for one, I was standing right next to Bryce McDowell, who's a military guy too. He goes, come on, man, what do you expect? They say he is crushing it in the weight room. That was the first thing they said. They're like, he is like as strong as they come. Like, this guy is like killing it. And then you watch him play and he's athletic. And again, let's not go down the road of comparing people to Latu, because I think he's special and I'm not even going to go there. Like, we might not have another Latu for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was funny during practice. You'll laugh at this because I told you I had my birthday. Jameer Miller called me. And just to say happy birthday, which, by the way, Jameer Miller, like, that's pretty cool. Jameer Miller was 10th pick in the draft. He was an All-American. He was freaking great. Like, Russians like that don't grow on trees. Russians like, you know what I mean? Like, Russians like that, Russians like Latu, like, those guys, they're not everywhere. Like, to find a 6'5" guy that can run like those two guys I just mentioned, it does not happen very often. It just doesn't. And so when I see this Busich, he's out there, and I'm like, he's athletic. He reads the play well. He had a play where it was just his job to contain, and he did it perfectly. Like, there was no hero ball involved. We may not have the electric pass rushers, but if you have people doing their job, guess who's going to make a million tackles? I'm telling you guys, it's Kane Medrano, who, by the way, we had a long conversation after the last time you and I talked, because Kane and I have become friends, and I love the guy. And he's like, yeah, dude, microphone. Because remember we talked about leadership? We talked about losing Lewis out. And he goes, yeah, I got the headset. It's all good. Oh. And him and Femi, I keep messing with those guys because, like, two of the nicest guys in the world, but they're great players. And they're getting after it. And here's what you're going to love. Carson Schlesinger.
Yeah.
He looked really, really freaking good. And one of the cool moments was they had Kane and Carson at inside. And they moved Femi, who definitely has – I mean, he's the size of the Murphys. They moved Femi to the outside. And I got a chance to talk to Akaika Malloy after practice. Who, by the way, and I know I'm being ultra, ultra positive right now. When Akaika got hired after we lost Coach Len, I was like, thank God, because I just love the guy. He's got so much positive energy about him, and he's a hell of a football coach too. And these guys right now, I told one of the people at practice, I'm like, man, the defense sure hasn't lost its swagger. And everybody just kind of smirked, because when you have a really good team and you lose some of those players, what every coach wants is that tradition of being an elite defense to be passed on to the next group. Now, yeah, you lose Moussa, you lose the Murphys, you lose Carl Jones, you lose a lot of voices, but now Femi and Kane are like louder, right? Now we're hearing some of the other guys that have been there. Jay Toey is, you know, louder, right? You have, you know, Devin Kirkwood is louder. Jalen Davis is like, these guys are like, now they're like, you know what? Now it's us. Now it's our turn. And when you have a good tradition and you have that swagger, and I didn't see it leave, that pumps me up, because this defense looks like it looks, in my opinion, the offense has got better. But the defense looks awesome. Like, they've been playing really, really, really well. And so I'm excited about that. But I think it starts with those. And I like the idea, because when I said, man, I go 49. I think that's Schlesinger's number. I go 49, looking pretty good out there. And he looks at me and goes, yeah. And that gives us, and I go, yeah, it gives you an opportunity to move Femi around. He goes, He goes, that's right. So, I mean, it's just fun when you have athletes and you don't have to, this is your job. Like, you sit here. No. Like, remember what we did with Carl last year? Carl did a lot of different things because Carl's a freak of an athlete. Well, so is Femi, you know? And so, we haven't talked about the fact that, like, we don't know what's going to happen with John. Like, I don't know if he's going to go into the draft. We talked about that before. But if he comes back, that's another really good player. And then, not to mention, everybody keeps asking about Lekaho, and I have no idea. I know people are excited because he came from Alabama. I have no idea. I want him to be great. I don't know if he is or not. It's kind of like when we talk about receivers. Like, you can remember people were like all mad when Ford left, or I don't know if people have been talking about, you know, Che moving on. I hope those guys go have great careers. I really do. I'm all for them. But it wasn't like they were setting the world on fire. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay. Like, you want to go somewhere else where maybe you can, that's great. But when you were here, you know, you did a few things. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, when you get your chance to play, you gotta show up. So that's why when we talk about a lot of these players, like, I watched Kane and Femi ball last year. They were really integral parts. J2E as well. Those guys were really integral parts to the defense last year. The defense would not have been as good without those guys. I watched Kirkwood in the very end of the season when I think he started getting healthy, because I think he was beat up. He started balling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen enough of the safeties yet. We lost our – I don't know. But I feel like we're good at corner. I think we're going to be fine. And like you, I've been impressed with the secondary. So I don't know who they're going to be. I don't know who our nickel's going to be. I don't know who the starting safeties are going to be. But every time I watch, whoever's out there is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very, very encouraging to hear the comments on Bucic. I've seen some really great flashes there. I'm glad you brought up Schlesinger, because he made some really big time plays in pass coverage, which I think is maybe the hardest element for some of these linebackers, because a lot of these guys, they know how to read the A gap, the B gap, go downhill and make plays. When you're covering, you know, tight ends, receivers, that is a whole different element to the linebacking room you've got to kind of add to it. Schlesinger made a knockdown on one of those goal line things that got the whole defense fired up on the Thursday practice. So very, very happy you brought that up. Wayne, it is always, always a blast talking UCLA football with you. Man, we'd love to do it again next Sunday night if you're interested, man. Let us know.
So let's just end with a little advertisement. The practice was packed with people. There was people watching from up in the parking lot. There was a ton of people on the field. Coach Foster has been so good with the press. We're embracing things where we want recruits to show up. Friday night's a big deal. They're doing the Friday Night Lights. And I know we really want people out there. I'm talking to anybody and everybody I can as far as former athletes. I've seen players that I have not seen in a long time showing up at practice, and they are welcome. The staff is doing a great job of reaching out to everybody saying, listen, come by whenever you want. But it includes fans. Come by and watch. Friday night's going to be fun. And then don't forget, I just mentioned I watched the spring game being televised for Ohio State. And I get it. I know we're probably not going to end up with 80,000 or whatever they were saying they were going to have. But we can do better than we've been doing. And, you know, a lot of us out there, we expect a lot out of our athletes. But I will tell you this, and I say this, and I played in that Rose Bowl. I heard Deshaun Foster say this before, too, when it's sold out. I played in it when it's absolutely crazy. I've even seen it over the last 20 years as a broadcaster. I had just the LSU game a couple of years ago was so much fun. And it may not have been the biggest crowd we've ever had, but it was a big crowd. We need to get back to where this place is rocking. So it starts with showing up for things like spring practice. I know that there's going to be some cool stuff happening. You're going to not only get to get autographs from players, but you're also going to be able to get autographs from old farts like me. Like, they're going to have decades where players are down on the field from the 90s and the 80s and the, you know, 70s and even 60s, because a lot of people have been coming around, and then the 2000s and 2010s. And so they're going to have it where you can be like, I ran into a guy, and again, I know you're trying to get out of here, but like, I ran into a guy at practice, and I apologize for missing his name. And he goes, Wayne, he goes, I just want to say hi. You were the quarterback when I started watching UCLA football. And I kind of was joking with him, after we talked for a little while, I walked away. I go, hey, man, I'm sorry if I ever disappointed you. And he looked at me, he goes, man, he goes, we won the Pac-10 and we went to a Rose Bowl. I'm like, that's the kind of fan, like, there's people out there that's never good enough. I just want us to enjoy this. Yeah, we all want to win. Trust me, I want to win more than anybody. But you can still love these players and love these teams for all they give and be a huge fan no matter what. That's, you know, we all know the term fair weather fan, you know, bandwagon, whatever you want to throw out there. Just be a Bruin. Be a Bruin. And if you are a Bruin, or even if there's a Bruin inside you somewhere, like, hidden, find it. Come out, let's have some fun. And these two things, Friday and then the Saturday scrimmage, are going to be an absolute blast.
Yes, yes, guys, loud and proud out there, guys. We need the Bruin Nation to show up and get rowdy out there at the Rose Bowl for the spring game. Wayne, you're the best, man. Thank you for coming on. Guys, see you out at Friday practice. We'll be back on Tuesday with the podcast. Take it easy.